If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You may kneel or sit for confession. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve the present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Kyrie, page 168. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from Habakkuk. Chapters 1 and 2. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, our fortress, defender, and shield. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken. God is our refuge and strength, our fortress, defender, and shield. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be shaken. God is our refuge and strength, our fortress, defender, and shield. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. That power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. God is our refuge and strength, our fortress, defender, and shield. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, our fortress, defender, and shield. The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is impossible for temptations not to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea than that he cause one of these little ones to sin. Watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you will forgive him." The disciples said to the Lord, "Increase faith for us." And the Lord said to them, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant who plows or keeps sheep say to him when he comes from the field, 'Come at once, sit down at the table'? Will he not say to him instead, 'Prepare something that I may eat, dress yourself and serve me until I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink'? He does not thank the servant because he did what was commanded, does he? So also you, when you do all that is commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have done only what we ought to do.'" This is a gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, keep me until your heaven I gain. When I, by your great mercy, the end of faith attain.
The word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the gospel for the day from St. Luke chapter 17. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, Jesus Christ. You'll remember King Saul, the first of those chosen to lead God's chosen people. And by all accounts, Saul began his reign as a very faith-filled man. He relied on his Lord. He looked to the promise of a Savior. He wanted to do God's will. But Saul was in the same situation that you and I are. He lived in this world filled with temptation, for as Habakkuk reminded us, the wicked surround the righteous, and that was true for Saul as it is for us. Saul should have listened to Becky Rippelmeyer. Becky says the two most important decisions you're going to make in your life are where you go to church and who you marry. Especially, well, Saul didn't listen to either of those two pieces of advice. Saul was in the world. He wanted to get ahead in the world. He began marrying women who worship gods who aren't the true God. And slowly but surely, Saul's faith faded. And eventually, Saul the believer became Saul the unbeliever. Because faith can be fragile. I seriously doubt that Judas started out as a traitor. I think Judas had faith like Peter, John, and Bartholomew, but then he became disillusioned with the way Jesus did things. And he lost his faith. He denied his Lord. Faith can be fragile. There was a member of this congregation, it's probably been close to 20 years ago, who had a dear friend who died. This dear friend rejected everything about Jesus. But this dear friend had done a lot of good things for a lot of people in the world, and this member of our congregation just could not believe that God would not allow her friend without faith in Jesus to enter his kingdom. She was disillusioned with the way that God did things. She was a Christian, but so far as I know, she remains now a non-Christian. See, faith can be fragile. Jesus says at the very beginning of our gospel, it is impossible for temptations not to come. Look, there are going to be things that are going to lead you away from your Lord Jesus in this world. There are going to be times when you don't like what God does, what God allows, what God says. This is why Jesus goes on to say, watch yourselves. Pay attention. Because faith can be fragile. And if you say, I'm not going to fall away, your faith might be extra fragile. You'll remember that Peter, on the night Jesus was headed for the cross, the night before he was going to the cross, said, even if everybody else falls away, I will not fall away. And a few hours later, he was denying that he even knew who Jesus was. Faith can be fragile. This is why Jesus again says, watch yourselves, and I want you to notice that yourselves is plural, which is to say, I'm not just supposed to watch out for my faith, I'm to watch out for your faith too, and you're to watch out for my faith. We are in this together as brothers and sisters in Christ. A couple missed church for at least a month. Nobody in the congregation called and asked what was up. They felt like nobody cared. Of course, when they were coming to church and other people missed church for a month in a row, they didn't call either. Which is to say, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, but we don't always act like it. We don't seem to care about one another's faith. We act as if faith isn't fragile. It is impossible for temptations not to come. But woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea. Woe to you and me when we cause others to sin. Woe to you and me when we will not care about the faith lives of others. Woe to you and me when we do not do what Jesus says. Watch yourselves. If we had just faith like the grain of a mustard seed, we would do what our Lord asked. Interestingly, the way that Jesus' phraseology is worded in Greek suggests that we don't have faith like a mustard seed. So what should we do? Well, how about what the apostles did? How about what we did in both of the first two hymns? Say, Lord, increase my faith. Those words are there in the apostles' mouths, and they were in our mouths in those hymns. Because what can keep our fragile faith from breaking? Jesus. Anybody else have the same problem that I do? You get clumsy and you drop fragile cell phones. Mine's wrapped in all kinds of protection. So far, even when I dropped it on concrete, it hasn't broken. We need our faith wrapped like that, in layers of protection. And every time you get Jesus, there's another layer of protection being wrapped around you. I put stumbling blocks in the way of my fellow Christians, maybe some of you. I ask your forgiveness. You've put stumbling blocks in the face of fellow Christians. Let's confess. We did that at the beginning of this service. For the sake of your dear son, forgive us. And he said, I've given my son to die for you. I forgive you all your sins. And you receive Jesus. Another wrap of protection for your faith. We will cry out, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. And he will say, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. More Jesus. Another wrap of protection for your fragile faith. It is our Lord answering our prayer. Increase my faith. You can't see your heavenly Father transferring your iniquity from you to Jesus. You cannot see him transferring Jesus' perfection from him to you. You cannot see another layer of protection coming to you. You cannot see the Lord increasing your faith, but it's happening. And don't worry that you cannot see it. We do not live by sight. What did Habakkuk say? The righteous will live by his faith. Faith that keeps believing our Lord's promise, even when we don't see the outward signs, the outward evidence of it being kept. But that faith that trusts him is fragile. Stores have these signs in front of their breakable goods. Fragile, do not touch. You break it, you buy it. Maybe we need that on our faiths, but we don't have it on our faiths. There's no fragile signs. We need to be the fragile signs for each other. Isn't that what the life chain this afternoon is about? What the rally at the new Planned Parenthood abortion clinic is about? Isn't that even a purpose for the 40 days of life? A warning, a reminder to each other that abortion is undermining our society and it is thumbing our nose at our Creator. Jesus says, when your brother sins, rebuke him. Remind him, his faith can be fragile. I need you to rebuke me. And frankly, you need me to rebuke you, too. That doesn't mean you have to rub my nose in my sin. It means that we need to remind each other that lying, that gossiping, that sleeping with someone who is not a spouse, that coveting, that selfishness, every one of those sins is putting a big crack in our faith so that it's even more vulnerable to breaking apart. So what's the purpose of rebuking one another? So that we see the fragileness of our faith, turn to Jesus, have our lives repaired, have another layer of protection wrapped around us, and believe that our Lord Jesus is for us. This rebuking, it doesn't have to be, you better stop lying or you're going to hell, although sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes it's just, hey, you sure that's not against the eighth commandment? You can even say it with a smile if you want. Is that how your Lord would have you to live? If it were Timothy? Is that how Lois and Eunice taught you to live out your Christian life? The goal is for you to help me realize I need Jesus and for me to help you realize you need Jesus because we're in this Christian faith together. Now, I'll be honest. It's way easier just to ignore the sins of other people. Then you don't get any eyes rolled at you. You don't get accused of being hopelessly out of touch with the world today. But frankly, I hope you are out of touch with the world today because you don't belong to the world. You belong to Jesus. Still, we're supposed to point out each other's sins, but I do not get the Pharisees' love for pointing out sins. That is the hardest thing for me to do in my Christian life, but the most joyous thing we get to do in our Christian life is what follows that. Give Jesus to a burdened sinner, to one who's repentant. All those ways that you have failed your Heavenly Father, they're all wiped out. They were all handed to Jesus. All those stumbling blocks that you have set, all those times that you were silent when you should have spoken, they are not counted against you because they have already been counted against Jesus. You are one for whom Jesus has died. You are baptized. You are forgiven. And with our slate wiped clean, we can now rededicate ourselves to caring for the faiths of one another. Now, when you rightly care for the faith of somebody else, here's the temptation to say, I did it! I did it! I actually confronted somebody and then gave them God's forgiveness. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hey, God, could I get like an attaboy or a merit mark for that? And do you see what we're doing? We're putting our fragile faith in jeopardy again because we're wanting to put the attention on us instead of on our Lord Jesus, who is the one who has removed our sin. So Jesus says, well, to paraphrase him, if you have turned in 20 consecutive reports to your boss late, and your boss says, I've got to have this one by Friday, and you get it to him by Friday, do you then expect him to go, oh, that's awesome. I'm going to give you a huge bonus and a promotion because you got one report in. You just did what you were supposed to do when so often you failed. And so Jesus says, so also you, when you do all that is commanded, say we are unworthy servants, not exceptional. We've only done what we ought to have done. See, when we're humble that way, then we're focused on Jesus, who is the exceptional servant, the one who actually goes above and beyond the call of duty, way above and beyond, all the way to the cross, be above and beyond, the one who is master of us, who becomes servant of us, and becomes obedient unto death, even death on a cross, because he is not going to quit until he has done what is necessary to have you with him forever. You sin against him not seven times, but 7,000 times a day. Repent, and he says, I forgive you. my child, that's all been taken care of at the cross. Dear Christians, your faith is precious, but it can be fragile. So watch yourselves. Faith can break, but Jesus cannot. Looked like he'd been broken when they hung him dead on that cross, but then he came out of the tomb alive, and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel in which our faith believes. This is why we do the hard work of rebuking and accepting rebuke, of repenting, of giving forgiveness, the forgiveness of Jesus to our fellow Christians, and of soaking in that forgiveness when it is given to us from our fellow Christians. Because it's true, faith is fragile, but when that faith is trusting Jesus, it will not break. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Apostles' Creed, page 175. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In Psalm 62, we said, "Trust in God at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him." So let's do that. We pray to the God of our salvation, in whom there is steadfast love. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to us. By the promises of your word and the gift of Christ's body and blood, strengthen our fragile faith. Teach us to watch out for the spiritual lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as our own. Give us courage to rebuke, humility to receive rebuke, heartfelt repentance, and a confidence that because of Jesus, you forgive us far more than seven times a day. Plant in us an unbreakable faith, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, be with our sisters and brothers in faith. Protect their fragile faith with your baptismal promises. We praise you for making Eric and Caitlin your children. Thank you for the marriage and witness of Wayne and Elaine. Bless their marriage. Use the Roots Campus Ministry Conference to prepare college Christians to be bold witnesses for you. Watch over St. Mark, Emmanuel, and Zion churches. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, you gave Timothy a faithful mother and grandmother. Surround us, too, with parents and grandparents who nurture and encourage our faith. Make each one of our homes a refuge of love and welcome. Thank you for this church family. Enable us to be loving sisters and brothers to each other. Prompt us to welcome every stranger and to love each other as you love us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of comfort, you never leave us, you never forsake us, even in disappointment. Be with Christian men who seek wives and Christian women who seek husbands. According to your will, lead them to faithful helpmates. Be with couples who desire a child but have none. Give to them comfort, fulfill their desire, and grant to us sympathetic hearts that are caring. Come to the aid of children who seek homes. Provide them with loving parents through adoption. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, raise up men to speak your word so that we can hear, believe, and have our fragile faith protected. Provide for the needs of our church workers. Give them diligence and faithfulness in their work. Protect our missionaries and Christians whose lives are threatened because of their confession of the Lord Jesus. Turn the hearts of our enemies. Bring unbelievers to faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, this world seems out of control. Your gift of marriage is abused. Lives that you give are wantonly destroyed with abortion. Remind us that you remain in control, that you have set limits on evil. Guide those who have been given authority in our nation, our state, and our communities.
Defend our country from all enemies. Use the life chain, the rally at the Fairview Heights Abortion Clinic, and the 40 Days for Life efforts for your holy purposes. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, be with those who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. Protect them, because we know faith can be fragile. We ask that you would be with and come to the aid of Carly, Brian, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Kathy, Sherry, Deborah, Alvin, Jeanette, Nina, John, Clem, the Martinez family, Hope, Ed, Stanley, Joshua, Holly, Reagan, Parker, and Herb. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, you raised up Christ so that we too can pass through death to resurrection. Thank you for the witness of all of the saints who have gone before us through life into death. Teach us to emulate their faith and their good works. Comfort those who mourn. Sustain the fragile faith of each of us so that we come to dwell with you and with your Son who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Giving Lord, you supply everything that we need for life. Give to us generous hearts that recognize those in need and share your abundance with them. Give us joy in doing your work and funding your mission. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things, O Lord, and whatever else we need, grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The offertory, page 176.
I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. be with you. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sin. Receive the body, the blood, the forgiveness, the strength of your Lord, and your fragile faith. Go in His peace. Whose blood still for us bleeds. Lord, grant us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste now the hallowed bliss of an eternal home.
the brief bright hour of fellowship with thee. I have no righteousness. Mine is the guilt, but thine the cleansing blood. Here is my robe, my refuge, and my peace. Thy blood, thy righteousness, O Lord my God. Soon we rise, the vessels disappear.
Receive the body and blood, the forgiveness and the strength of your Lord Jesus Christ that sustains even the fragile faith. Go in his peace.
Thank you.
guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away.
Salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us in the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.